Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my home studio recording far, far away from my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
I'm sweating my goddamn balls off, I'll tell you that.
I'm not, because I'm still enjoying that sweet, sweet suburban life at my parents' house where there's just AC blasting constantly, and I realized I haven't been outside in days.
I mean, I did realize that today. I went outside for the first time in 4 days today. And it is 100, literally 100 degrees in New York today.
Yeah, it's bad here in Chicago as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've gotten all of the warnings, all of the texts, all of the emails that are your power might shut off at any moment. Good luck. But I have a window unit, which I have to turn off when we record. So it's really a ticking time bomb as to how long I last before I just die, I guess.
Yeah, you're just going to be a puddle on the floor by the end.
Yeah. You know, at this point, it's fuck it. My air conditioning is set to 50 degrees. Listen,
oh, Jesus.
The UN told us that we're all going to die in 3 years this week anyway. So
yeah.
What are you going to do? Might as well be comfortable on my way out.
Might as well be nice and cool and record a podcast.
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah. When you take into account the net benefit of recording a podcast that is enjoyed by millions of people.
Oh, billions, I'd say. Entire nations.
My comfort is worth it.
Yeah.
Because I'm putting out good.
Right, exactly.
I was talking to someone on a dating app who works in counterterrorism and human rights for the United Nations. And I was like, well, I tell jokes. I'm actively making the world worse. And he literally said, well, that depends on how good you are at comedy. And I was like, well, that also depends on how good you are at fighting terrorism. And then he did not reply.
No, what? No. That was hilarious.
He still might.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, what's happening today? We're going to kick things off, as always, with Worst Things First, where I chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into why it is, in fact, so hard to be an Italian these days. You know how much of the problems I deal with. And I am almost entirely Italian, so, which I'll talk about, but if your butthole just clenched from my stereotypical Italian impression, you can loosen it up, okay? Take a snort of poppers and loosen that hole right up, because it's gonna be fine, and we're all gonna be okay. And finally, we got the amazing drag queen, I'll say honorary Italian for the day, Delta Work on the pod. We talked with her a few weeks ago. We got into shots, the entire genre of fantasy, which, spoiler alert, she hates, and so much more. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, worst things first, let's chat about the worst news of the week. Next, an 8-foot boa constrictor in Utah was on the loose for more than a month after workers accidentally tipped its cage over and it escaped.
I'm sorry, are they that fast? You tip its cage over and then it's just fucking gone?
Yeah, and this is not like a tiny, this is an 8-foot long, this is like a full grown man of a snake that you somehow just lost because you knocked its cage over. Also, if I'm a construction worker, they were installing windows. They were taking out windows and installing new windows. If I'm a construction worker, I'm working in a home that has an 8-foot long boa constrictor. My eyes are on that snake the entire time. There is no way I'm not keeping eyes on that snake at all times.
No, absolutely.
So the fact that they could knock this cage over and not notice that it escaped, and then that it was gone for a fucking month. A
horrifying
full calendar month.
Horrifying.
July 2nd is when it escaped. So it's been more than a month, actually.
I would move. I understand that whoever owned this snake loves it. You know, it's his pet or whatever. But like, if my 8-foot boa constrictor got loose, I would just move to another city.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't deal with the idea of like, is it in the walls? Is it Basilisk Harry Potter style, like in the pipes? I don't know. I don't want to know. Move.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I would say ride it out until the first cat gets petrified.
Yeah.
And then we go from there.
Right. Because you also know that, like, no matter how much the human loves the snake, when the snake's out of that cage, that human is food. It's not. It's no longer daddy.
It's an animal. Yeah. It's going to, when it's hungry, it's going to fucking eat. I also am like, okay, no offense to the people of Utah, but, I don't know. Look outside. What could it be hiding behind? What is there that you're hiding behind in Utah? Okay. I'm pretty sure it's just a blank piece of paper.
It's like a lot of mountains.
And now before we get letters, okay.
It's like iconically a great place to
Salt Lake
ski.
City.
It's mountains. It's beautiful scenery, you know.
I do love Salt Lake City. It is great. In fact, I was there almost to the day. I was there on my birthday like 3 years ago.
My God.
Performing at a comedy club, and they brought out a cake in the middle of my performance, and they did interrupt it, which was not welcome, but it was very nice. The point is, after a month of looking for the snake, the snake's owner contacted the police and was like, oh, I found him. He was here the whole time. So he terrorized this entire community who had been on alert to be like, every time you go outside, every time you go for a hike, be on the lookout for an 8-foot boa constrictor. And this guy was like, he was here. He was near a deep freezer in my house. I don't know. This guy has an 8-foot boa constrictor and a deep freezer. Maybe they should be investigating this. anyway, next. A 67-year-old man in the UK was sentenced to 6 years in prison for attempted robbery after entering 3 banks over the course of 2 weeks and using written notes to ask the cashiers to hand over money. The problem is his attempts failed because, according to one bank employee, his handwriting was so bad they didn't know he was trying to rob them. Stay in school.
Oh, I love this so much.
This is what's wrong with society. This is what's wrong with the old people, okay? You know, they lost the art of handwriting.
Yep.
We tried teaching them cursive. We tried teaching them how to write clearly, and they just don't know. Actually, it's probably the other way around. He wrote in cursive, and it was like the young bank teller who was like, I don't know how to read this shit. You should have typed it out. Yeah, so a police spokesperson said that the staff... So basically, he went in, he left this note. The note apparently said, your screen won't stop what I've got. Just hand over the 10s and 20s. Think about the other customers. I was like, what does that fucking mean?
A lot of questions. First of all, I know that it's a different currency, but it's not that different. You're asking for 10s and 20s? Dude,
yeah,
you're robbing a bank.
I mean, it's not that different. Yeah, he is robbing a bank and asking for 10s and 20s. So I guess he's respectful. You know, the entire world is sort of in a recession right now. And, you know, you can't be too ambitious.
Right, you can't be too greedy.
Right. But they couldn't read it. And so I guess they didn't comply and he left. And then it was later on that they managed to make out what it said. And they were like, oh, he was trying to rob us. Like, they didn't put it together until later that day. And then they called police and were like, oh, I guess it turns out this guy was trying to rob us. And so they, like, seized the note and they got the surveillance footage and they started tracking this guy. And they received two other calls about similar robberies, one of which he did get away with. The cashier, like, read the note, gave him £2,400.
Probably used to work for a doctor. Was used to reading really bad handwriting, decided to make a career move, and then was like, this again.
And then another cashier was, I guess, challenged him. They read the note, but they were like, no. And then he left empty-handed. But police were able to identify him, and they arrested him, and he pleaded guilty. So
I love that he just leaves, though, you know? He's just like, ugh, okay.
I mean, what are you going to do? Also, yeah, like, use your words, man. They couldn't read his writing. So instead of being like, okay, I'm just going to say what I want out loud, he was just like, all right, I guess I'll try the next place.
I appreciate how little this person tried, you know? Like actually, it's confusing because it's like how little he tried in one place, but then still had enough effort to go to several other places and try. You'd think after the second time, he'd be like, you know what, maybe my methods aren't working and I should like change it up a bit. But no,
he just keeps going and going. Honestly, never give up. Yeah, never give up.
Beautiful, beautiful moral of the story.
It's a numbers game, really. You know, you got to keep going for what you want. Try, try, try. And finally, after some pop-up advertisements have begun suggesting a certain home remedy for erectile dysfunction, experts are warning people, do not use apple cider vinegar on your penis. I'll say it once if I've said it 1,000 times. Do not put apple cider vinegar on your penis.
I gotta say, I didn't expect that. I feel like apple cider vinegar is just used for so many things. It's the cure for everything. You drink it. You use it to clean clothes. You use it to clean your countertops. Why not clean your dick, you know?
Yeah. I don't really understand where apple cider vinegar came from all of a sudden.
ACV, as they say.
Yeah. I feel like it just sort of popped up as this thing that is now in everything. And that is this like cure-all for literally every problem that you could possibly have, including, I guess, making your bits bigger and improving your sexual performance. So, yeah, I guess some websites have taken to suggesting that apple cider vinegar will perhaps enlarge your bits, improve your sexual performance. And an ED awareness expert told the Huffington Post that it's thought that this kind of old folktale originates from the fact that apple cider vinegar can be good for your cardiac health and your blood flow.
Oh.
It can lower your cholesterol. And bathing your dick in it can also make it smell better, I guess.
No.
So look at all the benefits. Well, to be fair, this exact quote, and I think this came from Huffington Post UK.
Okay.
It said, bathing your penis in it can make you smell like a chip shop. So I guess that's a bad thing.
I mean, I don't know. I think a chip shop is a pretty arousing. It's an aphrodisiac for sure. Just fish
and
chips.
I don't know how apple cider vinegar would make you smell like a chip shop.
Vinegar.
I guess.
Yeah.
Mixed with like dick must. Dick musk.
Well, chip, you know, if we're talking UK chips, you're putting vinegar in that mix, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why.
I think what I don't like about apple cider vinegar is that I expect it to be sweet.
Right. You think it's going to be apple juice. And in fact, it has very little to do with apple.
And flavor. Then it's basically like a punch in your uvula. Yeah. I mean, not that I'm like taking shots of apple cider vinegar.
I'm just taking shots
fine,
of pickle
I admit
juice.
It. I put it on my penis. No, I don't even know if I have it. I probably do. It's one of those things that, like, I probably should refrigerate, but it's just sitting in my cabinet.
Oh, no, it's
like,
in a cabinet for sure for me.
Yeah. But yeah, one other sex expert said, do not do this. Not only will it sting like hell, especially if you shove it up your bum. Anyway, she was like, it could actually burn where you've applied it. I mean, yes, it's vinegar. It's literally used to, like, clean surfaces. So, but damage to your skin can also lead to infection, and nobody wants an infection down there.
No,
that
thank
was
you.
Her quote. So, yeah, in case you were wondering that, I mean, this, I think, is one of those stories where it's like, I never would have thought of this until someone says, actually, don't do this. And then it's like, okay, I might. Anyway, that's it for this week's Worst Things First. If you want to hear and see even more stories that were brutally cut from this episode, you can head to my Patreon, where you'll get an extra feed. It's an extra feed of bonus content that'll show up right where you get your podcast. You can subscribe to that on patreon.com/MattBellisside. There's also a bunch of video content you'll get. It's a great way to support the show and support me. And it's a nice thing to do if you love the show. Patreon.com/MattBellisside. Next, we're diving deep into the worst kinds of Italians. Get ready. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, 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 deep dive. All right. Well, last week, those of us in New York saw the fall of prominent Italian groper Andrew Cuomo, who actually used his Italianness as an excuse for why he was so kissy and handsy. Although I will say, so there's this screenshot going around Twitter and the internet that is a screenshot from Fox News that had a picture of Andrew Cuomo's apology. And at the bottom it said, Cuomo, I'm not a pervert, I'm just Italian. Which is not actually a direct quote,
no,
I feel like we
no.
should say.
Yeah, it was.
I think a lot of people assumed it was a direct quote.
Yeah, no, that was Fox editorializing for sure.
But his actual quote was like, I'm an Italian, I'm kissy, I use my hand, like, I kiss, I use my hands. It's not much better,
no.
But he didn't use the word, I'm not a pervert. Anyway, he's resigning.
R.I.P.
Goodbye. But, you know, even though he's vanquished for now, it was still a stark reminder, I think, of just how far we as an Italian people have to go to overcome the many stereotypes that pervade about the Italian ex community.
Wow.
Okay. And if you're thinking, oh, Matt, you're a ginger, you're the palest bitch that I know, why are you claiming to be Italian? Well, guess what, sweetie? Then you're part of the problem. Sorry, we all don't fit your caricature of what it means to be an Italian. Contrary to your prejudice, I am indeed Italian. Belisai, thank you. My great-grandparents came here on a boat, and now 100 years later, I am the end of the line for them. This is what their legacy is. I actually think so. Yeah, my Italian side, my dad's side is the Italian side. I believe my Italian ancestors, great grandparents, are from like Sicily and Naples. And all of the Belisais that I know, there's only three men left. And it's me, my brother, and my cousin, all of whom are like nowhere near having children. So it's actually quite likely that the Belisai name, at least this strain of it, will die out.
Oh, look how far you've come. Look at how proud your ancestors must be.
But that's why all of the work that I do in my life is about making a name for, you know, on behalf of my immigrant ancestors.
Right, of course.
I do have an older Italian, it's like my dad's cousin. It's one of those people who is from Italy. Well, it's the kind of person that I only see at like funerals.
Right.
She's approximately 120 years old. I don't understand how this woman is still alive. But I remember at the last funeral we were at, she was like, all of your Italian cousins, they listen to you and they watch you. And I was like, who the fuck are these people? 'Cause I didn't even know we had family there, but shout out to them.
Oh my God.
Anyway, the point is, it's not easy being Italian these days. A lot of people are out here tarnishing the good Italian name. And I want to talk about how difficult it is to be Italian.
Wow.
And yes, I recognize that I speak from the privilege of someone who is able to outwardly present as not Italian. But here we are. First, everybody just assumes that Olive Garden rules apply wherever I am. And I'm here to say, guess what, bitch? We are not family. When we're here, you can fuck off, okay? I'm not obligated to treat you with anything but my disrespect.
Every hour on the hour, I ask you for more breadsticks.
Yeah, and I've said this before, too. Olive Garden breadsticks are subpar. I'll eat an entire basket of Olive Garden breadsticks without batting an eye, okay? I don't even have to chew. I can slide those things right down. But are they good? No.
No.
But also, you know how difficult it is to live with the knowledge that most people's idea of like fine Italian dining is Olive Garden?
Including your family.
I know. I mean, I long claimed that my family is Chef Boyardee Italian.
Right.
Because my mom is the cook in the family and she is not Italian. She learned everything from my great grandmother, who used to measure ingredients by pointing out lengths on her arm.
Amazing.
So she would say, this a much of pepper, this a much of salt, this a much of tomato. And my mom would be like, how many fucking cups is that? I don't even know her real name. We just called her Nani.
It's fine.
And then she went nuts. And she started seeing unicorns outside.
What?
I remember she like lived at our house for when I was very little, and she was like ancient,
right?
I remember there was one time my mom was coming to pick me up from school, and she was like, "Nani, I'm gonna be gone for 5 minutes. Don't touch the tomato sauce that's on the stove." And she'd come back, and Nani had emptied out the sauce into a container that had change in it. There's just pennies at the bottom. But yeah, she would tell my brother, because my brother is 6 years older, and she would be like, "Tony, you see the unicorns outside?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, Nani, I see them." And my mom would be like, "Don't tell her that you see the unicorns." Anyway, just this is mostly
shout
just
out to
a look at.
I'm obsessed with her.
I wish I could remember her real name, because I'm sure it was great. What else? It is impossible for me to use a jarred marinara sauce without feeling like I'm deeply disrespecting my ancestors.
It's because you are.
That is just every time I open up a can of Prego or Ragu, I can feel Nani rolling over in her ditch. Okay?
She's just buried in the backyard.
Every time I am considering a pasta dish, I'm like, okay, I guess I got to make it from scratch. I guess I got to roll up my sleeves, put on my smock, and, you know, get rolling.
Yeah.
And guess what? I do. And I have. I've now made pasta with just these hands and some electrical equipment. There are Italians, they literally just use a long rod to roll out eggs and flour into pasta.
I don't understand how people used to make anything.
Yeah, there is an Instagram called Pasta Grannies that is just videos of old Italian grannies making pasta.
Ooh.
And listen, I mean, this is another pressure of being an Italian, is just like being an Italian grandma, which I know is what my future holds and also what my present holds, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is everything I aspire to be. But like when you reach that age, it's like, first of all, you're more like a creature of the earth than you are anything. You're just like, I don't know. The surface of your body is just a desert. You're like wrinkled, stooped over. You can barely speak, but you can use your hands to make every food known to man.
And you can smoke 100 cigarettes in an hour.
I do. I'm so jealous. There are, you know, pockets around the neighborhood where you just see these old Italian women like sitting out on the sidewalk. They've just kind of like set up their own little park just on a sidewalk. And I don't know. They all own that like same dress.
Yep.
That is just formless.
It's a smock. But I love smock.
It. Yeah. Next. Also, as a gay Italian, I have to live with the knowledge that Stanley Tucci is straight.
I don't understand it. Which is kind of
offensive to me, both as a gay person and as an Italian. So that's really, you know, getting at the intersectionality of being a gay Italian X.
Yeah.
There also are far too many meats that I have to learn about. The amount of space in my brain that I have to set aside just to understand different types of meats that nobody else has to know about. Mortadella, prosciutto, pancetta, soppressata, speck.
That one always fucks me up.
No, the other thing I don't know what the fuck gabagool is. I still have no idea and I refuse to learn.
Gabagool.
No, I did look it up. I did not realize that gabagool was just a pronunciation of a type of cured meat. It's popular amongst like Jersey Italians, which is why it was in The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Next! I'm also overwhelmed by the amount of cheese consumption I'm expected to partake in. And I know this may be shocking to people, but yeah, why don't I write a 6-word tragedy for you? Move over, Hemingway, okay? A hungry Italian becomes lactose intolerant.
Oh, devastating.
That is the tragedy of my life.
Devastating.
And so now I have all of these cheeses, although Parmigiano, Reggiano, all of the cheeses, burrata. I didn't know what burrata was.
Isn't it just a type of mozzarella?
Mozzarella.
Yeah, you like how I said it?
Yeah, that's how my dad says stuff, and it's like, okay. You've lived here your entire life, so why are you suddenly saying mozzarella? Allegedly, my dad understood Italian because his extended family spoke it, and when my parents were dating, freshly married, my mom would go to family gatherings and everyone would speak in Italian. And the only word she would understand was Debbie because they were talking about her in Italian.
Oh, assholes.
And finally, there is the near constant pressure for GTL, which is famously Jim Tan Laundry.
Of course.
Okay. Made popular by the prominent Italian X members. Previous guest complainer / meatball, Snooki, JWoww, the situation, Pauly D? God, the fact that I remember all these people.
I was getting confused with the pizza spot, Pauly G's.
Also pizza, yeah. As someone who has come out publicly sort of as kind of like meh about pizza, that's difficult, okay?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm turning my back on the community. And in a way, I am. But yeah, there is a kind of constant pressure to, you know, go to the gym, get my tan on, do my laundry, go to the beach. And sometimes the pressure is too much, okay? We can't all be the perfect Italian. Anyway, shout out to all my fellow Italians. We'll get through this. And and that's it for this week's Deep Dive. Next, we got Delta Work on the pod right after this commercial break.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
All right. Well, my guest complainer today has many titles to their name. She's been a contestant on Drag Race, co-host the podcast Very That, received an Emmy for hairstyling on RuPaul. Welcome, Delta Work.
Hi, Matt.
You are in California, right?
I am. I'm in Southern California.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like we've been getting the kind of California weather in New York. So we're both boiling. We're both sitting in, you know, just tepid, stale rooms. Perfect complaining environments.
Right. Well, I'll always find an environment to complain in. Always. I mean, that's my superhero power, is complaining and not offering a solution. That's what I mean.
You've come to the right place. I cannot believe it's taken this long to have you here.
I know. I found my people. I found my place.
Well, let's get into it. We always start with, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
I mean, it would be easy for me to say that I hate everything, because I kind of do. I find something to hate and everything, which is a total character flaw. But in any event, one thing that I dislike that everyone seems to love is taking a shot that someone offers you that tastes like shit. And I don't understand why people think that it's some sort of like a way to floss or a way to like power play to be like, can you believe I took that shot? I know it's disgusting. Like, why? I don't understand why it's like a negative to enjoy the alcohol that you're drinking. Like that. It's almost like, even in the queer community, there's sort of this like, oh, what a pussy. I can't believe you don't drink tequila. Uh-huh. I can't believe you don't like Fireball. I can't believe you don't want to drink Dimetap while you're out. Like, I want to enjoy it. Like, if I say to somebody like, oh, I would love an Arbor Mist, they're like, ew, like what? But if it tastes good, why is that the negative?
Yeah.
Is that a negative?
No, I am definitely in the camp of like, you should enjoy what you're drinking. I don't know why.
Really?
No shame. It is definitely, I don't know if it's still, I don't know. Do you still feel like where you get that kind of like, oh, you know, you are ordering the kind of like the girly drink is, it used to be like the kind of like 90s, 2000, like put down.
So sometimes there's like this thing, I feel like you can tell who somebody is based on their drink. So like if somebody's having like clear, like a vodka soda or whatever, uh-huh. like I'm watching my calories, which is great.
Sure.
And I'm watching my sugar. That's great. And then there's people that are way too cool. And they're like, I have to have whiskey. Sorry, bitch. No, bitch. I have to have whiskey. I don't do what you do. I do this. And
that
then there's people
me.
That
yeah.
are like, only shot people. And there's people like, oh, I only have craft beer because I have to have small batch because I'm like, you know, I'm not regular. I don't know. There's a thing. I think there's a camp to like, there's certain camps for each type of beverage or whatever. Right. And like, I love the feeling of being fully inebriated. Like, I love that feeling, but I don't normally get drunk. Like, as long as I've done drag and as many drink tickets have been offered to me, I usually give them away because I'm always driving everywhere. And right. I have this huge fear of hurting someone being behind the wheel or my friends not having a ride from the club. I don't know. I guess that's just a weird mom thing in my head where I'm like, does everybody have a ride? Who has a ride? Who needs a ride? Maybe
no, that's
just
a good
busybody
thing.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, you went from saying something very concerning, which is that you love the feeling of being inebriated.
I do, but I don't get to do it.
But then you made up for it by being the mom.
Right.
I don't think, maybe it was just because I didn't, you know, there was a year where we didn't go out at all. And now we're kind of back into it. And I have noticed more than ever before, I'm a whiskey drinker.
Okay.
That's just like my alcohol of choice. And I feel like I have gotten judged more from my fellow gays for being like a brown liquor person. And it's like, that's just what I like. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I'm better than you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess if you're constantly drinking it with like a lumberjack beard and in a place that only writes on the chalkboard, then maybe that, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, we assign, you know, Raja for years only drank Jack Daniels for years and years and years and years and years. She also only did cocaine for years and years and years. But as she's gotten older, all she drinks is wine. She loves wine. Boxed wine, $2 wine, $400 wine.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it just evolves a little bit or maybe it does. Maybe you'll be drinking whiskey, you know, until you're 90. I hope you are.
I sort of had the opposite journey. Like, I used to be the wine guy, and now I'm a whiskey guy. But,
okay.
You know, everybody's on their own kind of personal journey. Yeah.
I'm still trying to smuggle in, like, a big gulp into the club with, just, like, iced tea. I'm that person. I'm very... Yeah.
But I do catch myself sometimes. Maybe it's just because I am also in the business of going, you know, you're out, you're at clubs, you're doing your stuff. You know, right. if you're a performer, you're used to kind of being out and people offer to buy you drinks. So I feel very comfortable when someone offers me a shot. Like, whatever it is, it's going down very smoothly. And I do take a small bit of pride in that. I'm like, you could genuinely put moonshine in front of me and it would probably go down pretty easy.
So you basically go down easy at all times.
You could say that. I mean, I didn't say that, but you could say that. Sure,
it's
sure.
Hey, listen, it's the new normal. We have a year. You said we have a year to make up for all of what we missed out on. Why not?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Why not? Take every shot if you want. Just, you know, have a ride home. But
yeah. But I don't want to limit you to just one, you know, one thing that you hate. If there are others, I mean, by all means, let's go through the list.
Well, you know, this is the perfect place for saying, talking about the things that I hate. Even on the podcast that I share with Raja and then Instagram, you know, you can get in trouble so quickly by stating to someone, oh, I hate when this happens. They're like, oh, really, privilege? Well, guess what? Oh, really? Well, guess what about this you never thought about? So it's hard to even use the term anymore. Hey, oh, I hate this. But, you know, I fucking do hate shit. There is shit that I hate.
That's completely fine on this show.
Or there's shit that I don't understand. So how about there's things that something that I don't understand, and it's I account for this because I'm an only child and I was raised by a single parent and I was raised in the, you know, 80s, early 90s sort of. I have a hard time wrapping myself around any entertainment that is centered around fantasy. So I have a hard time understanding superheroes,
okay,
video games, adult cartoons. Anything that I can't put a date, a time, a place to something factual, I have a very, I will sit in nervousness. Like, so wait, is this, so we're saying this happened like in the medieval time in France. Well, it's not really France, but it is no, I need to know like the zip code. Like I and everyone I know is like, what do you mean? You don't know that the reference to, are you Ravenclaw? And I'm like, Raven? I don't know what that means. Everyone I know, my partner, my friends, everyone I know is fully able to absorb that. And I find it so odd because I consider myself a pretty free thinker. I have a hard time if I can't put a time and a date and a name. If I can't assign it, I'm confused. And certainly like adult cartoon, I don't know if it's called Adult Swim or like, I love looking at the visual of stuff like that. So if you're out there and you draw pictures of me, I'm not like throwing shade on you. I love that. Please bring it and I pay for them. But I have a hard time understanding, like, wait, so are we, like, is this a, this baby is talking like a man. I have such a hard time understanding. So do I hate it? Maybe kind of.
Yeah, that is such a broad stroke, though. I mean, you knocked out like 75% of pop culture in one swing.
Because I'm crazy. Because as a kid, I, you know, grew up like, my dad had his own business. My mom had, worked third shift as a nurse. And so I was like on my own. So I used to like ride around on my bike and pretend I was investigating things. And I had no siblings. All of my cousins are significantly older than me, or you know, 8 years, say, older than me as the youngest. We moved around a lot too. So I didn't really establish a lot of long-term friendships until I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe that's why that has some, like, everything is so tentative, I guess. And I love listening to like true crime podcasts. I like watching anything that's true crime related, even if it's just inspired by, at least I can go, okay, it's in New York. Okay. At least I have that. People are there. I'm not pretending that all of a sudden, like, a monster is going to come out of somewhere and I'm supposed to accept that monster speaks.
Well, I don't even know. Is there anything else on your list? I mean, I certainly have other questions.
Oh, my
but
God.
I mean,
yes.
We could go down the line.
Let's quickfire. Okay. So, you know, I think, and I thought this for a very, very long time. You know, I'm 45 years old, mm-hmm. and I have thought probably for 27 years, 28 years, as long as I've had a driver's license, that we should stop right now in the world, at least in the United States of America, at least in the city of Norwalk, California, where I live, and everyone should be administered a driving test. Everyone, just period. Mm. On the spot, and if you do not pass the driving test with at least an A-, I'm going to say A-, you have to have your license revoked. People absolutely do not give an iota of a shit. I think people think when they leave their house, like, well, I'm driving to my destination. Stop signs, stop lights, other cars, they are merely in my way.
Right.
The rules, I think they believe the rules are here to stop me from having a productive and successful day. So people just do whatever they want. They drive through red lights. They're pissed that I can't believe you're stopping for that person in the crosswalk. Hit them. Like, people, I think, absolutely think that.
Right. There is something about, it had to have gotten worse in the last year, but I think over the course of the last like decade, I feel like people suffer from main character syndrome, is what I've heard it called, where it's like everybody is like, I am the main character in the entire world. Everybody else is a supporting character in my life, and therefore nothing else applies to me that applies to everybody else. So that I think is at play, where it's like, yeah, which I suffer from myself, you know, if I'm a pedestrian, it's like, okay, all these cars need to stop for me. If I am a, you know, if I'm in a car, it's all these pedestrians need to get the fuck out of the way. But still, it's like, yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. So I haven't really gotten into any questions, although, you know, I figured this would be conversational anyway.
Ask me questions.
Well, my first question was whether the Delta variant has complicated your brand at all.
No, there are people that have made like memes and stuff
sure.
But what was weird was I was hearing about the Delta variant, obviously, for quite a while. And I feel like it took people a while to like go, oh, Delta variant, Delta work. I have a friend named Frida Wales. That's a drag name, Frida Wales.
Uh-huh.
And she made one that's real popular. And it's like all of these heads of mine, like looking down, and it says Delta meeting the variants, which I thought is very funny.
Sure.
And a lot of people are sharing that. So Frida uh-huh. Wales made that.
I heard Delta Airlines apparently exclusively just refers to it as the variant. They won't.
Okay.
They just want to completely distance themselves from that. Which is fair.
Do you watch Drag Race like or had seen previous seasons?
Yeah.
At all?
Mm-hmm.
So Jujubee, clearly a star and my friend, her real name, birth given name is Airline.
Uh huh.
And so we always said, "Ooh, if we were ever on All Stars together, our team would be Delta Airline." So stupid.
I love that. Well, you're getting kind of you're back to performing live, right?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so you're getting to do your own thing and kind of get out back into the real world a little bit more. How is it going?
Well, for now, I mean, you know, right. we're we just heard 2 weeks ago, you know, or last week actually, that we're state mandated back to masks inside.
That's right.
Which
yeah.
I kind of never stopped as far as my personal going out, going to restaurants, shopping. I obviously clearly always have a mask on, and that's just where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine having them for a very long time.
Yeah.
Where I live, there's a bar that we work at pretty consistently called the Executive Suite, and it's always been inside. Now it's outside because everyone got tent permits, you mm-hmm. know, so everyone's been doing tents or parklets. But it has been, we've been so encouraged and nourished by the people that have come to see us because they've understood, like, these parameters have changed mm-hmm. and may have changed forever.
Do you think the audiences are kind of, like, grateful to be back? Or are you experiencing people who are, like, maybe a little too excited to be back and going?
Both.
Because I've definitely been in bars lately where I'm like, okay, these people came out and they are very much making up for the last year and yeah. we might not be safe.
Yeah, both. For sure, both. There's people who will come and they'll be very respectful. And there's people that I've talked to that are like, oh, I haven't been out for a while. The message, you know, text or whatever. I haven't been out for a while. I'm still not feeling comfortable, but I want to come. And they'll show up and it's like this, you know, they'll feel a bit of anxiety because they see mm-hmm. people laying all over each other, which, why are you doing that anyway? Like, pandemic or not, I still don't understand why strangers want to go up to people and, like, I don't know if it's like a skin hunger thing or it's like a psychological thing or but like this laying on people or this like touching people out of nowhere. And I'm a very tactile person. I love hugging people and touching people and you know, not with invitation, but you know, when you're in drag, there's an interesting sort of carte blanche that happens when you're in drag that mm-hmm. doesn't happen for me when I'm out of drag. I recently did a photo shoot where this person was asking, like, tell me about your character, tell me about your character. And I have to keep saying, I don't have a character.
Yeah.
This is kind of who I am. I understand there are people who create characters. Absolutely. If you meet someone like Varla Jean Merman in and out of drag, who is Varla Jean Merman, Coco Peru, two of my absolute icons.
Mm-hmm.
Very often when you see that certain entertainers, maybe they have cultivated a character where outside of it, they can protect who they really feel that they are outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's just an extension of me, and it's not any better or worse than creating a character. It's just different. I'm more endearing to people perhaps because outside of it, maybe I'm a little more quiet or reserved or broody or something like that. Maybe that's what they think. Because of that ability to maybe during a performance mm-hmm. sort of like pretend to touch someone's face or those kind of things. I think other people think like, oh, well, I'm going to do that too. So they come up and they're like, oh girl, I love it. Bitch, yeah. Your makeup is so pretty. People will do that. And they've always done that. But especially now mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, you're putting yeah. your fingers like in my grill, like fully. Why are you doing that? And why are, like, people will, I don't know if every drag queen experiences this, maybe because people see me as Santa Claus or something, but they will come up to me and I'll be sitting on a patio and they'll just walk up, hey, bitch, and I want to sit on your lap.
Down.
They'll sit on my, is it okay if I sit on your lap? What? Yeah, I'm like, well, yeah. What, do you do that to other people? Do you walk into Olive Garden to just sit on laps? I don't think you do. If I came up to you and asked you, hi, out of drag, could I sit on you? No. I don't know if it's like Disneyland. Like they think yeah. like, well, it's a, you know, it's a big character with a big character head on. And when the character head comes off, I don't want to talk to yeah. you anymore. But when it's
no,
on,
I feel the same.
I can do whatever because you're a plush toy.
To a lesser extent, I'm sure. But just as like someone who does comedy, it's like people kind of see this persona on stage, assume that that is who you are off stage, and that they sure. can kind of come up and say or do whatever because right. you are, you know, this kind of person or persona that they are familiar with. And it's like, don't. I mean, well, yeah, yeah. I've heard some crazy shit. No one's put their fingers
sure
in my
have.
Mouth or sat on my lap. So I've gotten away
they,
with that.
Never in your life?
Not in the context of a oh, complete.
So you've had something. You've had fingers in your mouth. I wouldn't buy that. No, I know what you mean. No, as a comic, I would imagine that you would expect have people come up to you and, that think they can say some off color, what they think is funny,
right?
But it's highly inappropriate, or actually, and I think even you might agree with this, maybe not. I understand, but like I think a lot of people think, well, if you're funny. Then if I say something just disgusting and not, that I think is just because it's shocking, you know, it has to be funny. If it's right. funny, then it's funny. And I'm going to laugh with you. The same thing, you know, people come up all the time and they try to do like fat jokes. I'm not offended by fat jokes at all. I'm offended by dumb jokes.
Right.
And I'm also offended when people are like, hey, girl, when are we going to go eat? Let's go eat, bitch. And I'm like, really? Like, that's all you would imagine is like sitting down and dining with me. Like
right.
that's all, you don't think we're going to do anything else. Like I can't come and complain on unhappy hour. Like I can do that
right,
really,
right.
really well. Like
that's what we start with. Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. I feel the same way. I mean, yeah, I don't know. People are a lot, which is why we have to complain, frankly.
Yes.
So tell us about the podcast. You've been doing it for a while now.
Yeah, we started last fall on the Mom Podcast Network through and Forever Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just me and Raja. It's called Very That. And we, when we started, we didn't really, and I don't think we even still do have a direction. I mean, I don't think we have a thing where it's like, we have to say this. Mm-hmm. We have to, we really just reminisce and we pop up a couple of pictures and talk about those. Occasionally we have a guest. We've had, usually it's somebody that pertains to or has some sort of a point of view about the early days of our drag careers. So like the 90s or has an opinion. I totally just burped right now, by the way. your sound engineer is going to be like, this pig, she needs a gas pill. So, you know, people that may have been part of that quill or have something to say about drag that... and the beauty industry, because it's not really like a drag race. It's not a drag race recap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a Dragula recap. Although those references come up because we were sort of catapulted into people's consciousness because of our appearance on Drag
sure.
Race. And, you know, that's something I'll always think when I'm critical of my experiences behind the scenes with Drag Race or World of Wonder. People will say, you know, they gave you your start. Well, they didn't give me my start. They did give me a platform and I utilized that platform, but they paid me for my time filming a TV show. And but I have a lot of great experiences as a contestant on Drag Race and I have a lot of great experiences behind the scenes. And we bring that to our podcast, the same as Raja does with her experience, not just with Drag Race, but with a makeup artist on America's Next Top Model. And we talk about traveling and we talk about things that get on our nerves, not as deep as this, which this has been fun for me because I have to curb myself a little bit, even on my own podcast, because I'm like, all right, now this is just becoming about me bitching about Starbucks again. And this is not what we said we're doing.
Right.
But we post some pictures, talk about those, answer a couple of letters with people who maybe have, sometimes they turn into like advice. Other times it's just observational things. So. Mm-hmm. We're having a good time with it. We really enjoy it. I feel like I say it all the time. I feel like we're cheating people a bit and they don't know it because I feel like we just turn on the thing and we're just like, okay, to start talking.
Yeah.
And because if they could hear the text messages and the FaceTime conversations that happen throughout the week,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck, they would be like, well, you guys already talk like this. Why are you canning it and putting it out there? Like,
right.
Are you serious? But somebody, it resonates with somebody, I guess. So
yeah.
We're lucky. We're very fucking lucky.
Well, where else can people find you and your work?
So, I mean, I try to keep a pretty good presence on Instagram. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, I was going live nightly because I wasn't doing any drag. I would get in drag just to go live on Instagram. I'm on a service called Cameo. I don't know if you're on Cameo.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fun. Those are personalized video shout outs. You can check me out there for like a birthday thing. You don't have to if you don't want to, but if you want to, I weekly do a thing called Cameo Calls where it's like FaceTimes with people who support drag or mm-hmm. want to talk to me. Do those as well. I'm always post where I'm going to be performing. We're like you said, we're back to performing. I'm back to traveling a little bit, which is, you know, it's an uphill swim, especially not just getting back from after pandemic, because they have, you know, people book Drag Race, Dragula people, as what they consider to be the draw for a night. Mm-hmm. But they've got like three seasons to catch up with, because there's people that haven't even had to be, you know, the chance to tour because of the pandemic.
Right.
So they're meeting up with those people. But then, so then when they have to go back and bring somebody else, it's like you have to fight to get through all of that, which is not really a fight, just saying trying to show yourself as relevant. Mm-hmm. But some people have, you know, like, hey, well, we want to bring you out, even though you know, were on TV 500 years ago, and we think you might have something. So I get to go a few places. So I'm happy about that. That's cool. And it'll pick up even more, but it just, you know, everyone's trying to meet these deadlines of people they wanted to have, but then pandemic happened. So they've got to fit them where they can.
Right. Right. Now I know the struggle, but you are always welcome on this podcast.
You've been a stellar guest.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. Exciting. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that help all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. This week, we are highlighting access to PrEP. So for those who don't know, PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It is a medicine that I guess anybody could take, but it is particularly prominent in the LGBTQ plus community that people take that prevents a person from contracting HIV through sex. It's 99% effective. It has been an incredible, you know, medical miracle for a lot of people. The problem is a lot of people don't have access to it, especially people in the South, especially Black people, people of color. The problem is there are a lot of health plans in Southern states that require prior authorization before people are able to receive PrEP, which is just like another hurdle that people have to go through that ends up delaying them getting medicine or preventing them from getting it. So there is an organization called Ready, Set, PrEP that helps people find out if they qualify and enroll for getting free PrEP. It's a good thing to know. It's a good thing for people to support. So we'll link to that in the show notes. Moving on to the TV we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
I have finally started Sex Education, which I know you have talked about.
Finally.
A very long time ago, I was staying over at my sister's house and she was like, have you seen it? And I was like, no. And she put it on and I fucking love it. So I'm watching that right now and I'm really, really enjoying it. I know I'm late.
I do love it. Gillian Anderson.
Oh my God. Phenomenal. And you know what started back up this week? Riverdale is back, and I'm gonna...
When did it stop?
Well, they do this weird, like, in-season pause, basically. So they took, like, a couple months off, and now they're back. So very happy about that. Haven't watched it yet, but obviously will be.
Sure.
What about you? What are you watching this week?
I haven't watched any new TV this week. I did watch Cabaret for the first time.
I haven't seen it either.
Okay, homophobic.
Okay, you just watched it.
Yeah, I've been trying, like, whenever I realize, oh, there's this, like, big movie that I haven't seen, I've been trying to, like, be better about going back and watching stuff that I remember, like, oh, right, I should know what that is. I should have that as a reference point. Mm-hmm. Cabaret is, like, the big, it was, like, Liza Minnelli's breakout.
Yeah, yeah.
Role. Yeah, and like one of the most famous musicals of all time. I just never seen it. Also, it was funny because Cabaret is the musical that they do in Schitt's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I finally get all of these references. Because contrary to popular belief, gay people are not just born with this knowledge. We actually have to do the learning. So it's painful work, but it's important. What is your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser is actual exercise clothes, like clothes that are made for exercising. Uh-huh. I realized that I've had the same shorts since like college, which is pretty gross when you stop and think about it. And I always worked out in like old shirts that I like get for free from some event or something, you know, and I finally got to a breaking point and I was like, I work out regularly. I enjoy playing tennis. Like I can buy clothes to work out in that like are cute and make me feel good and also are like made to be sweated in, especially with the heat waves. So I bought a bunch of it, which like also, you know, it is expensive and it, but I felt like it was pretty much an investment, considering the fact that I've had the same pair of shorts for like 10 years that I've worn to work out in. That's pretty gross. So it's just, I'm loving it. I went to Beyond Yoga and Avocado and like, it's all made in the US. It's like super nice quality. Everything's really soft. So shout out to buying actual exercise clothes. Highly recommend this whole athleisure thing that people love. It's great when it's hot, really hot out. So
sure, sure. It's only been a trend for like 20 years.
No, I know. But now I'm like, oh, I get it. When there's a heat wave, it's nice to wear like a shirt that you feel cute in and also can like sweat a disgusting amount. And it can handle that, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, I went to Target today after I worked out and I didn't shower in between. I was just like, fuck it. A, it's 100 degrees out. I'm going to continue sweating.
Right.
B, going into Target and coming out, I'm like, ugh, I want to take a shower anyway. So might as well save it.
Right.
But like walking around in gym clothes outside of the gym, it feels like taboo, but
I know.
It's great.
It's great. Made me feel great. So that's my non-TV chaser for the week. How about you?
My chaser is my birthday present that you got me that arrived this week.
Yay!
Which was a vintage Cats t-shirt from London in 1981. It's a 1981 like original Cats t-shirt.
Yes!
That I still have yet to wear because I'm like, this is a precious artifact that I need to preserve. This belongs in a museum, but, you know, part of life is enjoying things.
Yes.
So I will be wearing it exhaustively.
I'm glad.
And that's it for today's show. So thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. If you want more Unhappy Hour shit, obviously you do, you can head straight to my Patreon page where you'll get a video of bonus Worst Things First stories that were cut from this week's episode, video of extended guest complainer interviews. You'll also get a private RSS feed that has all of this bonus content that you can listen to right in your podcast app. You can also buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. Obviously, you can always head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audacy, that's AUDACY. Wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Arlene Revelo, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. You can follow us on Instagram at Unhappy Hour. You can leave a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. In the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. Name an Italian drag queen. You can't. Lady Gaga. She's the only one.